Author and journalist Anthony Lowenstein is in Perth at the moment to speak at Curtin University's Centre for Human Rights Education. He's the author of Prophets of Doom, a book on vulture capitalism. His best-selling book on the Israel-Palestine conflict, My Israel Question, was shortlisted for the New South Wales Premier's Literary Award in 2007. He followed it with Left Turn, The Blogging Revolution, co-edited After Zionism, and he's co-author of For God's Sake, a book on the role of religion, faith and politics in society. But that's just a start of what he's written and published across various forms of media. Welcome to Drive, Anthony.
Thanks for having me on.
Faith or perhaps religion is prevalent in your writing, as is politics. Where did these interests come from?
I was born in Melbourne in the mid-70s. I call myself an atheist Jew. For those of you who wonder what that means that I was born Jewish. I was brought up liberal Jewish, but I have no religious belief today. I don't go to synagogue. I don't practice my religion in any official way. And I'm atheist because I don't believe in God and all those obvious things. But I call myself Jewish because I identify with some kind of cultural aspect of my religion. And I think Judaism, particularly since the Second World War, has that element. It certainly, I think, I would argue you can be an atheist Christian or an atheist Muslim. Some might disagree with that, but some of my friends would say that they can be and they are. But I think for me, there's a growth in the last 20, 30 years, especially of many Jews who have some connection to Judaism. But for me, my disillusionment with the religious aspect actually was the policies of Israel towards the Palestinians. They're separate issues. The problem is they're often too connected. And I think for too many Jews, we're essentially told that to be a good Jew, you must support Israel uncritically and ignore and deny the profound human rights abuses that Israel is doing, what I would call in my name, as a Jew.
It's confusing, isn't it? Because then what's going on there has in fact nothing to do with religion.
It doesn't. I mean, it's like obviously a long issue, isn't it? But I mean, in some ways, it's about, I think, land and politics and history. Yeah. I think religion does play into it on certain aspects on both sides. There is a growth of fundamentalist Judaism within Israel who sees Israel itself as an illegitimate state. This is Jews thinking this, yes, who actually think there should be a Taliban style, obviously a Jewish Taliban style state. And there's a prospect, putting aside the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, a potential of a conflict between Jew on Jew, a more secular Jew and a more fundamentalist Jew within Israel itself. And we saw in the mid-90s, as people will remember, a prime minister who was assassinated by a religious fundamentalist Jew.
Yep. And so what about then the politics? Where does that come in for you? What was your upbringing and when did you start?
I grew up in a pretty conservative home, I guess. Right. I mean, my parents, I think, I would argue, unthinking liberal voters. Israel was certainly not rammed down my throat. But for most Jews, and this is not unique to Melbourne, it's pretty common in the diaspora, you support Israel. You don't really question it too much. The idea that you would be a Jew who questions it, obviously those Jews exist, and I'm one of those now, very publicly. But it wasn't really that acceptable. And up for the arguments that you would have heard 1,000 times, because of the Holocaust, because of oppression, because we deserve a state, because of the need for Jews for a homeland, because of what happened in the Second World War and the ongoing threats of anti-Semitism. But my politics developed at university. I became, I guess you'd say, more progressive and started being a journalist officially in the last decade or so in Sydney and travelled a lot around the world to various conflict zones. And I think ultimately, journalism, I think most of journalism is actually, journalism is between insiders and outsiders. And the problem, I think, is too much of journalism today is that most journalists are desperate to be close to power and insiders, including the show on the ABC, which I think is fundamentally problematic because of that very reason, that journalists are desperate to be close to a politician or an advisor or a minister, whereas journalists, in fact, should be a check on power. And I think hopefully my work over various ways has reflected that, which is why I piss a lot of people off, which is the idea, in my view.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sure you're right in many ways. Anthony Lowenstein is my guest on Drive at 17 to 5 on 720 ABC Perth. Then what about the role of religion in politics, even in Australia, if we can talk about that?
I think it's relatively minor in a way. I mean, obviously it's there. Tony Abbott, our Prime Minister, of course, talks about his religion. Julie Gillard, a former Prime Minister, was an atheist. Her opposition to, for example, gay marriage was said not to be based on her alliance or some kind of unofficial alliance with what I would call quite hardline Christian lobby groups. And I guess that's something that the historians will analyse in years to come. But compared to the US, Australia, I think, is in pretty good shape. Now, personally, I don't like any politician, whether it's Kevin Rudd or Tony Abbott or a Green or anybody, who makes a decision based on their religious beliefs. The idea somehow that one should, for example, be opposed to abortion because you claim that the Bible teaches you that message, or you're opposed to gay gay rights because the Bible says it's wrong. It doesn't matter what religion you are, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish. I think this is an issue. And I think Australia is generally, I think, proud of its secular beliefs. I think the census, last census, shows that most Australians will still call themselves Christian. What does that mean? That might mean they go to church once a year. That might mean they kind of don't really believe maybe in Jesus and, you know, the resurrection and the rising on the third day. But they have some connection to their family or tradition. And I think there are about 100,000 Jews, about 400,000 Muslims, give or take, in the country. And I would argue that in terms of political influence, the Jewish community is far more powerful than the Muslim community, much more organized and well-resourced. That'll change, as in the US is happening in the next decades, as if the Hispanic community in the US are growing in influence and power, which will change inevitably the political realities in Washington and in Canberra.
Antony Lowenstein's my guest on Drive this afternoon. Your latest book, Prophets of Doom, it's about what you call vulture capitalism. Can you explain that?
I'll summarize it. Basically, the idea was I'd spent time in places like Afghanistan, Haiti, Papua New Guinea, Australia, Pakistan, looking at the role of privatized aid and mining and detention centers and war, and saying how in the last 20, 30 years, a range of corporations, both American, British, and Australian, have, I would argue, colonized these kind of industries. This has been done with bipartisan support. So detention centers in Australia, for example, for most listeners might not be aware that they're run by private corporations. Obviously, it's a government policy, whether it's Labor or Liberal, but it's run by private corporations. They are making a hell of a lot of money from it. Now, they're not making sure or ensuring that the boats, for example, are coming or not coming. But what they do is make a hell of a lot of money from the more boats that are arriving. So whether it's centres in Christmas Island or Manus Island or Nauru or elsewhere, the more people who are arriving, their profits increase. And the problem with that has been, and I discuss this in my book, is that I have whistleblowers from inside Serco, which is one of the major companies that is running the centres on the mainland here. The training is appalling for the staff. So the staff themselves often get mental trauma from what they're seeing. The asylum seekers are clearly suffering because they're in often given very poor conditions to live under. And the problem with that is that when a private corporation is doing that for profit, they have no incentive to actually give the appropriate care to their staff and asylum seekers. And just, I guess briefly also, in Afghanistan, war since 9/11 has been increasingly privatized. And one of the reasons I think that most people aren't aware of what's happening in Pakistan and Iraq and Afghanistan is that the various governments, including our own, are outsourcing various tasks to private companies who often commit woeful human rights abuses, which leads to an insurgency, which leads to hatred of the West. There are connections between these corporations. So the book challenges that, questions that, puts out views that say that there's actually an alternative to this kind of way of life, and to say that most Australians, when they're asked, say they oppose outsourcing in most areas, and yet most politicians say that we should do this. So there's a disconnect, and it's about making people more aware that they should raise their voices and say it's not good.
13 to 5 on Drive, Anthony. A couple of quick fire ones for you, some simple ones to finish with. So what's the Middle East solution then? How do you see it between Israel and Palestine? How should that play out?
In short, in your mind? Long question, short answer. A two-state solution, which we're told is the answer, will not work because Israel has colonized the West Bank now for over 40 years and there's over 600,000 Jewish settlers there illegally. My solution and many other people's solution, as I talk about in the book After Zionism last year, is a one-state solution. All peoples in one state, in a democracy, secular. People have the right to be Jewish or Muslim or Christian. This is a way that increasing numbers of Palestinians and Jews talk about. The idea of having a state that discriminates against non-Jews, which is what Israel does, and for that matter, most of the Muslim world discriminates against non-Muslims, isn't to me anachronistic in the modern age. So one state solution with justice and reparations for past abuses against both peoples.
Okay, and so therefore, obviously, one Jerusalem shared by all as well.
Indeed.
Okay, and then you're a Jewish atheist, so you don't believe in God, but you do believe in the connection, you know, to the community. You enjoy belonging.
As an outsider,
the culture,
but yes.
The culture, the festivals, that sort of thing. But you wouldn't, you know, utter God's name. You wouldn't.
No.
But you would eat the food, enjoy the company, do the dance.
I will dance if I need to, yes.
And so what about the guilt then?
Which bit?
Well, the Jewish.
The guilt about,
yeah.
About Israel or just about in general?
Well, just about being sort of.
I guess, do I feel, I think there's an element of feeling like I actually feel as a human being as a Jew responsibility, in fact, which is not unique to being Jewish, I might add, but the idea of responsible to what my people are doing and my people being Jews. And one of the areas I write about is Israel-Palestine. And to me, when you have Jews committing apartheid in my name as a Jew, this to me is something we should oppose, particularly with our history. And there was a film just very shortly that came out called The Gatekeepers, which listeners may have heard of, which is about six former heads of the Israeli intelligence services saying, in short, that what we as Israel are doing in the West Bank is appallingly barbaric. And one of them even equated Nazi Germany. He wasn't saying that they're gassing Arabs. He wasn't saying that. He was saying that the way in which we dehumanize Palestinians is so ridiculous and absurd and actually is going to bite us on the ass in profound ways to the point where our legitimacy is now being questioned, which it is. So to me, my responsibility as a human being is to question that what I have a chance of changing because I'm the one who contributes to that reality.
I appreciate you coming and having a chat to us this afternoon.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me.
Anthony Lowenstein, my guest on Drive. And you can see him tonight if you want to go along to Curtin's University's Norman Dufty Lecture Theatre, I beg your pardon, at 6 o'clock. So it's not that far away, an hour and 10 minutes.
6:30.
6:30. Oh, then you'll get there in plenty of time.
And tomorrow night at 6:30 at the State Library, I'm also speaking with Scott Ludlam as well.
Oh,
with
fantastic.
The Greens Senator. The
current Greens Senator.
Current Green. Hopefully he will survive, but we shall see.
He'll be there tomorrow night, minus 10 fingernails, I would have thought.
Indeed.
You can see that tonight at 6:30, Curtin University, tomorrow night at the State Library. Thank you, Anthony, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. It is 10 to 5. You're listening to Drive.